So believe it or not, we're about to embark upon a new sugya. It's called Safek Mamon. So some of you are probably wondering, one second. We have been talking about Safek Mamon for the last week. So the truth is that I try to be very, very careful in the breakdown of these two sugyas. Even though they are very much linked to one another, there is a little bit of difference between them. Up until now, we were talking about, you know, I guess to call it in our legal lingo, Latin, it was Mr. Altman, if it is an ex post facto or something, you know, what happens after somebody is teifes? You know, well, what do we do at that point? But now, we're going to go back a little bit, back to pre-tvisa days. What are we supposed to pask? How are we supposed to act in the case of a suffix moment? So why do we learn the sugya? It's really a metziyat abei sugya, a metziyat avkuf sugya, even a lamed hey and balavasa sugya, you can pin it on. The reason why we learned this sugya is because Taisus brought it up here. Taisus couldn't even wait enough lamed hey. They brought it up already on that base because Taisus has some observations and some assumptions, and perhaps some questionable assumptions, about the rules that govern Safek Mamon in order to bolster their kasha, in order to strengthen their kasha, in order to present their kasha to us. Let's just chaz it for a second, because really there's almost a segue from last sugya to this sugya. How did we get into this? I thought we were learning about building walls. The answer is because the Mishnah told us what happens when the wall falls down. What do you do? So the Mishnah, what do? You split it. You split the property, you split the airspace, you split the building, everything is split right down the middle. Why is everything split? Lefikach, because we know for a fact it was originally built split, because that's what the din was. So since that's like a riot, brutality out there, that it was built in that state, so in Mela, we're going to split it. As I state in the Mishnah. So the Gemara already picked up on the Mishnah. The Gemara said, well, that's the reason why. It's Pasha. Of course you split it. What the hate the taste, you would do anything else. Everybody knows you split things when you don't know what to do. So he said, oh, no, you're right. Hachal Eskinan is Mukhsar. It's Tfis that fell into one guy's backyard. So up until now, the last 3 days, we've been talking about Taisus Kasha. And why did that help? It was a Tfis of Akshon HaSafek. So I think we have one or two things to be more about that. But now let's go back to the basic. Go back to the basic thrust of Taisus. Taisus thrust was, every Safek moment is Cholkin. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry knows that every Safek moment is Cholkin. That's what the Gemara meant. When the Gemara asked that Kasha and the Mishka, what do you mean, Lefikach? Everybody knows it's Cholkin. Every Safek moment is Cholkin. Let's chaz the shas now and try to see, is that statement true or not? Is it really true that kol safek mamon is chokin? So we already made reference 2 days ago to the machlekes sumchos and the rabbanim. So the emes is sumchos who really believes that. The Hilchos Gittana, Talmud, Mubuk from Rabbi Meir, really truly believe that mamon rabutu b'safek is chokin. But nobody holds that way, with the lone exception of a Rashbam tucked away 40 blocks from here in Beit Basra. Nobody else really held on. Why should we follow sumchos? Of course we follow the chokin. I always thought it was very, very strange. I don't think there's anything deep, significant to it, but I always found it strange that one of the two most famous machlokes sukkos in the Rabbanim all shas. There are a handful of others, but they're nowhere near as popular. This is obviously, what else? What's the other most famous machlokes in the Rabbanim? Baba Kama, Sound Prayer. Sroros. If an animal damages through kicking pebbles instead of direct kick, so do you pay Nezek Sholem? Or do you pay Chatzin Nezek? So the Rabbanan say you have some special halachi, like Moshe Sinai, or whatever the mokor of this din is, the Chum say you pay Chatzin Nezek, and Sukkot says you pay Nezek Sholem. Why don't I always find that humorous, that machlokes, I guess? Because the one place, again, it's not the same thing, but when the Rabbanan say X, Sukkot says Cholkin. And when the Rabbanan say Cholkin, you pay half Nezek, he says X. He says, no, you pay the full amount of Nezek. Now again, they're not the same thing, not the same words. I just found that it was a little bit strange, maybe just coincidental, in case anyone has any other great thoughts on that matter. But Lamaisa, we're going to reject Mechilas Kovet Simchus. We don't follow him, just because you know how to do Metara Sheretz, we're still not going to follow him. So we follow the Rabbanan, that Safek Mamon, you follow the rules of Muchsuf, what's called Avarai, etc. However, says Taisus, that still does not negate the status of Safek Mamon being Cholkin. Because the only reason why we reject Sumchus is because we have other halachic factors. We have Muchzuk, we have Chazmar Kama to reckon with. But Lo Yitzuyu, we have nothing else to go on So Simcha's 100% right. Simcha's is right on target. He's got it right. And even we accept that. And ultimately says Taisa, that was the Gemara's kashin Abdallah. When the Gemara asks Pshita, of course it's Chalkin. That's what the Gemara asked. That was the Chavon of the Gemara's kasha. There's no Moksuk, there's no Chesed nor Kama. Pshita the Chalkin, Bein the Sukkos, Bein the Rabban. So now that we've ascertained that Sukkos and the Rabbanan, and particularly the fact that the Rabbanan are made it to Sukkos, is the background of our sugya, at least we're justified in learning the machlekes right now. So we're justified in discussing Shitas HaChachamim, and this is really what we want to focus on. Shitas HaChachamim, that when you have either Muchsuk or Cheskes Marakama, so then the din is, whatever the din is, but Ein Muchsuk, and Ein Cheskes Marakama, so then everybody agrees to the din of Chalfi. So I want to try to understand that a little bit. Try to understand what the parameters of that statement are. And then branch out from there after Tyson's other observations and assumptions in terms of Sufik moment. So the whole story started with a very, very cryptic comment to the Rif, following a Gemara in the third Pekhem Sechbav Mitzia. Who here is in 8th grade? Who here learned Hamafkid in 8th grade? Great. Where'd you go to elementary school?
Yeshiva HaTorah.
Okay. If you would have said SAR or Norm, I would have understood, but it must be part of the same trio, okay? So me and Zach, we have a lot of things in common. I went to SAR, I went to Norm, but we learned all the same things all along the way, okay? So we're in the same trajectory, Jack. Okay, good. So Rabbi says, now I know why you got off of Rector Court. You did not want to be in Rector Court last night. I mean, unless you had a canoe. Mamish, she's the commissioner. Mamish needed a boat to go there. My fell off last night. Okay. So Rabbi Isai comes to Gemara in the third parak of Mitzia. Mishnah actually tells us the following: hello. I want an animal, and I'm afkid, I give you an animal to watch, and the animal gets stolen. Depending on your degree of shemira, shemachim, shemasach, etc. Sometimes you have the option to swear, sometimes you have the chiv to pay. Whatever the case may be, is lemaisa you pay. You paid me for the animal, and then a week later the galav is caught. And now the galav has to pay kefil. Who does the galav pay kefil for? Who does the galav pay kefil to? So the Mishnah has a very, very strange thing. The Mishnah says, if you would have asked me, I would have said, you pay kefil to who? To the owner of the animal, the original owner of the animal. Why should they pay kefil to the shomer for? So the Mishnah says, no. That if the shomer already paid up for the animal, so he was quote unquote kind of the kefil. And when the galav gets caught, he's the one who gets the rights of the kefil. Why is it such a strange halacha? Why is it so bizarre, that halacha? What's striking about that halacha?
You're acquiring something that never comes.
Yeah, well, what are you acquiring then? You paid for the rights of kefil? The chadar shalom al. So that's the first sugi in the third pack of Mitzia. How does that work even? So the Gemara has a lot of work. A lot of stuff there, but we're not learning that right now. But the din stands, the Mishnah stands. So then the Gemara has 15 different buyers, 15 different shilas within this din. What if, there's like, whenever I get those words, what if, I get all nervous. That's the, you know, those who've been at my, who's at Abbey Orthodox is the Puff of Lush. What was it? I spoke about this at Avi Rosa's office. Avi Rosa's shesh last year. When Meir Yaakov, my oldest son, was like 6 years old, so we used to have a Mishnayim group together. So Avi Rothrock was part of that. Kobe Diamond, coming from last year, was part of that. Meir Yaakov was part of that. A handful of boys were part of that Mishnayim group. So we used to rotate the fall the same Mishnayim. So whenever it was my turn to say Mishnayim, I would go nuts because I would start to say something in the Mishnah, and Avi would always raise his hand and say, Rabbi Sadlovsky, what if, and he go on yesterday, like this, like, you know, what if, you know, the caldron doesn't move or something, what if? So we made a rule in the Mishnah's group that you're not allowed to ask a question with what if. So Abu would raise his hand, let's say. So I commented at his offer up, I began my drasha with, let me speak about what if, and let's say the following way. So comes the Gemara and has this Ibaya and that Ibaya and this Ibaya. What if, and let's say, instead of I bought the entire kefil, I paid for half the kefil. So do I get half the kefil? What if I watch an animal for a husband and I paid the wife the next day below the cable. And what if I borrowed from one shittuf and I paid back the other shittuf? Every possible scenario under the sun, the Gemara says, buy this and buy that and buy this and buy that and buy this and buy that. And finally the Gemara concludes with the grandiose conclusion.
Take
it. We have no idea what they did with any of these cases. No idea what that was. Take it. Who was up the riff? Who saw the riff? Where's the riff?
In the rush.
What?
It's quoted in the rush.
Yeah. So comes the Rosh, and he did Rambam came and says, "The Tamili of Rav Alpha Shakosav Khan, the Kaimalan Mamun Amutal Besafik Cholkin." So the riff on this Gemara says, "What do you do with all these what ifs and let's says?" Zok the riff, you split it. Why? Because Mamun Amutal Besafik Cholkin. So says the Rosh, "Pilei Ploy." That lino, that Losh, Mamun Amutal Besafik Cholkin, we would have expected from Sukhos, or maybe from a Rashbam, but not from the riff. Because the riff himself in the fifth pech of Avakama says, so the riff is a pillar point. What in the world is he bringing sumchus back to life if the riff himself rejects sumchus? So it's up to Rosh Bidas, the riff, Efsher. They got to be kefil like a chazoka. So comes the Rosh and says he's trying to make some sense out of the sheet of the riff. He says, maybe the riff means as follows. This case of suffix kefil, we don't know who's entitled to the kefil. There's no muchzik. Nobody's muchzik in the kefil. The gamer's muchzik in the kefil. So we're trying to be done between the mafti and the shayla. The mafti claims, I think I'm entitled to the kefil. And the shayla says, I think I'm entitled. And the basin says, we are not to take it. So says the Rosh with the Sarif, this is an example of a din teira where there's a sofik, there's a latest of sofik, and there's no muchzik. So when there's no muchzik, so that even we agree to sumchus. So maybe that's what the riff meant. So the Rosh rejects that beer. He just said the drug. He just said that shtickle term. A pesha hate to a pesha also. He's about to destroy his own shtickle term, but that's the riff. Based on two grounds, says the Rosh. The Rosh rejects this pshah and the riff on textual grounds and on conceptual grounds. What are the textual grounds? So the Rosh continues. About aim with shade and mash became. With the comrade, the kaimalon, mash medika plukta, the posikim and the abacholkim. When the riff presents his psak, he says, you want to know why I'm saying Chalkin? The Kaimalon Mamanut Basavi Chalkin. The Kaimala means there was Machlagis. Somebody argued and somebody disagreed, but I hold Azoi. According to what we just said, it's clear as day, as Taisus told us in the Bays, it's clear as day that even the Chalm agree, but there's no Mukhsar, so it's Chalkin. So what's about washing the Kaimalon Mamanut Basavi Chalkin? So that's the first cash. We're not going to lose too much sleep over the first cash. It's a textual nuance. The Rosh Hashanah doesn't seem to bear out the Rosh's pshat. Well, what's much more disturbing, says the Rosh, is the following. That the Oid Nira, the Vadai Chazok Eika, came with the Mesafkalani Akhni Behema Lekfela, Uki Behema Becheskas Be'al Level Hikmalai. Comes the Rosh and says, the latest asofik is, was there haknas of hemana? Because the Gemara says in Hamafkid that the way that the shayner is kind of the kefil, he's kind of the behemah vis-a-vis the kefil. Other kind of the kinyan of the kufapeh, so we have enough for that. So the real latest asofik is, did this transaction occur? Who was the rightful owner of this behemah? If the shayma would have paid full 100% lagamri to the baladomer, he would have been kind of the behavior. If he wouldn't have paid it all, he would not have been kind of it. What do you do? You give a half baked payment to one shutuf, to one isha, to one balas, and kupa kakam any way of doing it, and we're not sure whether there's actually the name or not. So says the Rosh, it's true that there's no muhtar because the kefil hasn't been around yet, but until this latest asafik, who owned the animal? Until we have a litter, until this half-baked bechira behemoth took place, who owned the animal? The mafkir, the original owner. So vos hot the mafkir. What does the mafkir have? There's a cheskes barakamot. So comes the Rosh and says, when there's a cheskes barakamot, the rabbanim do not agree to sumchus. The chum only agree to sumchus when there's garnish. There's nothing to garnish. There's nish mukhsaf, nish barakamot, nish garnish, and garnish. Then the chum made it to sumchus. So the fairish on the board got two ains here, right? In muchzak, in chesed bar kama. Only then did the chum say cholti. So the Rosh presented a biyah b'das arif and retracts it because if that's to be in the riff, it would not be accurate. It would not be true. Because your Rabbanan Taka would not be made to the Simchus B'chei Gavna, because there's a Cheskes Moshe. Ad kan to be a Rosh B'das HaRif. So what is the correct Biur B'das HaRif? You want to figure it out? You have the tools ready to figure it out. We have a scenario of Kenos Behemel Kefel, and we know what we have to get to. We have to get to Cholkin. Which means in order to get to Cholkin, what do we have to bypass? According to Rabbanan, we have to make sure two things don't exist. Are they quickly? Muchzak and Chesed Merakam. And those are the two things. We got to get rid of these things. We got to get these off the board. Okay, we could somehow override Muchzak and Chesed Merakam, and then we're good to go. Then the riff makes perfect sense. Leaving out the linguistic, textual problem. So which of these is the easiest one to bump out? The Rosh already said. Muchzak is obvious. The Chesed Merakam is like a brick wall. Isn't there Chesed Merakam? So you can analyze this in one of two ways. Either you can tell me there's no Chesed Merakama, or you can tell me that. What's the next thing you can tell me? Yeah, there is Chesed Merakama. It's kind of hard to deny that. But this is a type of a suffix that Chesed Merakama doesn't help with. If we're going to find some deficiency here, the Chesed Merakama is going to fall a step short after some deep, dark, halachic mystery. Chesed Merakama is not going to be relevant, and therefore we're going to be able to bypass Chesed Merakama and end up with a perfect application of an ein, whereby golly, chokin, and very shalom. So that's the goal that we have to go to. That's when you learn this riff, and you want to deflect the Rosh's kasha. We want to take the Rosh's trap with us the riff and deflect his kasha. We have to get rid of Chesed Merakama.
Well, to a certain extent, the only the animal was found, whatever was stolen was found with the ganav. But the only thing that would be paid to the person who's holding on to the pikadon, who was stolen from, would be the kefal. And the kefal was what.
So what you're basically saying is the first route. You're saying that there is no chesed merakama here because the deal is not around the what? We're not being down on the animal, we're not only on the kefal. The kefal l'chud and the animal l'chud. Right? That's what you're saying. You're like Osamech territory. Okay, but we're not going to go down that route. We're going to spend the 1900s and going back to the 1800s.
Well, we could say potentially one of two things. Either Cheskes Merakama has nothing to do with Chazaka, that could actually make the other day, it doesn't matter. Or Cheskes Merakama has a lower level because just like the same way the payment to one party doesn't really affect the entire ownership, the one party itself doesn't have entire ownership.
No, but I want to focus again. If you want to go down this route of Bumpy Yachas Merakam, we can do it one of two ways. We can either say that there is none. Ein doesn't exist. The Chlal doesn't exist. And again, the rationale would be something along the lingo that you're saying, that because the Dion is not on the behemoth, the Dion is only on the money. That would be a valid Mahalach, but we're not going to go down that route. We're going to go down the route that Yesh, right? We're even going to call it a phrase we like to say. Truly relevant. I'll do actually written that. Truly relevant. It's true this Chesed Merakama, but this is an irrelevant application because Chesed Merakama fails us. Now wait a second. What do you mean Chesed Merakama fails us? We believe the Chesed Merakama. How do we know Chesed Merakama exists? So was the Raya? Was the Raya Brura? The Rosh has it, but the Rosh has eyes and Bamitzi the Kuf has it. But the Sugya Machna Parba Chamor, the Gemara has the note from the Chesed Merakama. Hopefully we'll get the Chesed Batim one of these months, so we'll see the Chesed Merakama, the footprints of Chesed Merakama written on the entire Torah. So everybody agrees, that makes sense. So everybody agrees the Chesed Merakama. So what is it about this Chesed Merakama that's not working? Wherein lies the deficiency? So the wheel should be turning, everybody say. So Baruch Hashem, you know, when we first started the sugyas last week, so we were throwing around term tzina. Everyone, you guys were like, it's like new. It's like, it'll hit you. Now we're already experienced. We're pros at this already. We already have the right wheels to turn. You need a few sugars to get the wheels turning. You'll see by the time we get Chesed Batim, you guys are going to be like, you're going to be like second guessing, couldn't say, it's the Tzaisim right and left.
We set up a trade.
We already asked. We have precedents, right? Precedents, like good legal precedents, right? And the chazaf only avails that, right? So we need legal precedents. So we want other examples that we know of from our past experience of last week of when Chesed Bar Kama is there but doesn't really play a role. So give me a few examples. Where do we find Chesed Bar Kama failing us?
Bari
was one. What was the first one? Who was the first one who said Chesed Bar Kama fails because of the type of a suffix? Who was the author of that?
Ramban.
That was Ramban. Right? Ramban by Trinam Trey. These are examples of, right? Chesed Bar Kama exists, but irrelevant. Then we had Bari. Who was the one responsible for that one? That was one day of Chazing service. Stuff. Yeah. The Rashba didn't say Chesed Bar Kama. The Rashba was talking about Chesed Bar Kama. But, okay. So we had one day in Chazing service. And who connected the dots between the two, of course? It's the same, right? What was the driving force to connect these two Rabbi? What was it about these two that made, what was similar? If I would say to you last week, Avalanus of Suffolk where there's a Bari, and Avalanus of Suffolk where there's a Trey with Trey. And they're really related to one another. For the exact same reason you don't follow Chesed Bar Kama, you look like I'm crazy. It would have taken me 20 minutes to explain to you what Trey means, 20 minutes to Bar, but now you know all the terms. So again, what was the breakthrough to the Chesed Bar Kama? What's the common denominator between these two kinds of Sfeikas?
It's not Suffolk.
The what?
It's not Suffolk.
They're Sfeikas that don't lend themselves to what?
To what?
What do these Sfeikas not lend themselves to?
Chazok and
Nekon. Remember? The Ramban claimed that Trey doesn't lend itself to Chazak HaMekar. He dug up a Gemara where? What Gemara? You have to remember all the Gemaras now. That was Gemara in Yevam and Staf Lamed Aleph, right? That was the Sugya of Trey. Sfeikat Daraisa, Sfeikat Darabanan. And the Ramban claimed we passed it a certain way. Others disagree. So the Ramban said that you can't follow Trey, you can't follow Chesed Bar Kama by Trey, because you can't follow Chazak HaMekar by Trey. Who said Bir Hadavar in the Bari story? The Kudus HaSfeikas. Who did he connect this to? He connected the Taisus to who? To which sheet? To which sheet in Rishon said you can't say Chazak HaMekar by Bari? That was the Rash for Kiddush. And so we had this theme developing last week that whenever Chazak HaMekar fails us, Cheskes Bar Kama fails us, because ultimately what do we believe in our heart and soul? That Cheskes Bar Kama and Chazak HaMekar are pretty much related to one another. Now, truth to be told, the Kudus HaSfeikas himself wasn't convinced 100% this is true. His brother was convinced. The Ketzais was convinced. Hitaka wasn't so convinced. But we've been assuming this way for now. We could say something really razzle-dazzle fancy, but we're not going to. But let's just, this is the simple show. Trust me, this is the simple beer, okay? Anything more than this is a little too much elaborate for us. This is simple. So, really the route we have to go down to defend this riff is to find one other case that's going to make this list. I need another kind of a latest asafe that doesn't lend itself to Chazak HaMekar, and then I'm good to go to extend that doesn't lend itself to Chesed Bar Kama. Give me that, name that suffix, Rabbi Yisai. Not a suffix in what, but a suffix in what? Name that suffix, Rabbi Yisai. What is unique about the sugyas in Movement C? We talk about during Seder. Name that suffix. What is different between the suffix that's taking place in Bavitzim, the third parak, and Machli Par B'chamor, you don't know when the animal was born. A wall falls down, you don't know where the sticks and stones belong to. You have an animal, you have no idea whether its mother had a baby before. Ma'lishtana, those suffixes. So the sfeik is the beginning of Bavitzi, third part of Bavitzi.
All right, so I guess the Gemara that
you say more than one word.
You say Lamedana base.
Yeah.
When you give the
I need one word. You're saying too much. You're already saying too much. I need one word. The suffix in what? What's the what? Suffix in halacha, not in. The sfeik is in halacha. We don't know what they did. We have no idea. Is this constitute akinos okay for or not? I have no idea. That is not the same as, did this animal give birth to them? This is not the same as, who paid for the original stones of the airspace? This is not the same as when was this animal born. This is a suffix in halacha. And a suffix in halacha is not nitan techazocha meikara. And if it's not nitan techazocha meikara, then who the name is not nitan techazkas barakama? Because as we all know, simple logic dictates, techazkas barakama are identical. If this doesn't work, then this doesn't work. So Rabbi said, we are good to go. We have a third case, the suffix in halacha. Anyone want to give me a svar? Why is that? We have to get introduce ourselves to a new corner of the room. This is also, could also qualify as a halacha mikra. Here's a bias minuga. No? I gotta check there's no bias minuga in my house now. No? Who's gonna tell him? Why does chazaka mikra work for suffix in halacha?
I mean, I guess the entire basis for Hazaka Meikaro
is a self-committee. Okay, that's true, 100%. But whenever the Torah gives us a model of something, you have to really explain why we should or should not extrapolate from that model. So the Hesha takes it as a chazaka. Give me a swirl, give me a reason. I want a real compelling reason why Hazaka Meikaro doesn't help you when you have self-committee.
But yes, at the end of the day, you can just go back and check by Halakha, there's no way to go back and just look at the practical.
Yeah, you guys are all saying things that are true, but I'm afraid to say that there's a phrase on the board that makes people what you said. No? I don't know a phrase. It's a coin phrase. Mishnah Melech has it. The Knesset Gedolah, I think, may have been the first one to coin the phrase.
Oh, something Del Rey, so
they were not the first ones to coin it. I'll start off, some of you may have heard it someplace, time and place. Ba'avur ha-chazaka ha-yishtan ha-din. What does that mean? It's a catchphrase of a whole group of words. Remember what Mishal Melech was?
Yeah, I either changed the chazaka.
Who remembers what Mishal Melech was? We quoted last year, Pesach. It's a good bikia, so you get extra credit on the phrase.
Oh, when you threw up the ring?
No. Where is the Mishal Melech? Means the following. You have a suffix in halacha. You're learning a sugya. Chazal learning a sugya. Svar zazoy. Rai zazoy. And we reach the point where we don't know what was said to Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't mean either literally or colloquially what was said to Moshe Rabbeinu. Means we don't know what the Torah Kedosha says about the following scenario. We plus don't know. We brought 100 rayas, simplest for 50 rayas, 1 mitzvah, and we still don't know the difference. And then you know what comes along? Some nikapukha wall called the Chazaka Neikara comes along and says, I'm smarter than all your rayas. I'm telling you, this is the halacha. Why? The halacha is that the person was not cutting the kefil. You know why he wasn't cutting the kefil? You know why? Why was he going to Kegel? Because the cow used to belong to him. Oh, Yishtach, we should make you do Rosh Hashiva. We'll make the wall do Rosh Hashiva. You're so smart. We couldn't figure out our own. You're so smart. You're smart. They can tell you something. You see this group. You're the smartest person in the world. What kind of nonsense is it? Bavar Chazof Eishtan Hethin. You're going to paskin Shailin Halacha based on what the Chazaka was? How does the Chazaka relate to the Sophic, the Chlal? It's a freestanding, independent, logical suffix. We don't know what Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Kadosh Baruch Hu, or what should be extrapolated from the Indian Torah. We have no idea what to do, and now, Kut Chazak and the Dalf, by the way, this is the thing. Finish for my suffix in Mitzias. The suffix in Mitzias, we're trying to make an educated guess as to what did or didn't happen. So Chazak is the world, you know, and I recall it, inertia, someone do the Einstein's theory of relativity, how things are in place. I don't know whatever you want to call whatever chazakas mean in the world, the natural world. Things come into kanoyu, things stay the way they are, random. I don't know what they do. I have no idea what's going on. But I can understand it. I can hear chazaka. The odds are probably nothing major happened. Usually things pretty much stay the same. There are not that many chadushim in the world. I mean, come on, you know, we live in a world, the problem is we live in a world where more has changed in the last 10 minutes than in the last 3,000 years. So we have this idea that the world is like fast, like heading down a roller coaster. But the world was supposed to be in such a way that, like, you know, everything was the same. I remember once we were sitting, this is about the off the white Torah, but we'll tell it over anyway. I remember once we were sitting around the Rashida meeting, and they found like some old notes of like a Rashida meeting like from the 1960s or something. So they were like reading out like we're double Rashida like design, we're double grounds like this, this and that. It was all the same issues. We talk about the same nonsense. It was the same topics. It's different numbers of people, that's all. But the issues haven't changed. That's really, I'm really gonna cut that. Okay, we'll make a little surgery on that one. So Rav Isai, when you're dealing with the Olam HaMetzias, the Chazak HaMekar makes sense. Dealing with the world of Allah, the Chazak HaMekar. So this is Gabal. This is my week. So Zoy Zok, the Kudush HaShveikis, without Serif. This is what's going on. This is the answer to the Rosh Hashkasha. That you can't apply Cheskes Markami here, because you can't apply Chazak Mekar here, because there's a Sofik in Halacha. And those kinds of things don't lend themselves to the Chazak Mekar. Who thinks that's Farsh correct? Who thinks what I just said, Kudus HaSfeikis just said, who thinks that's right? Who has a serious reservation with this? Everyone in the West, yeah. Just a very, very serious reservation. How in the world could Chazaka, the issue of what Chazaka means, how in the world could Chazaka paskin up what the halacha is? L'chaora, the premise of those acharonim is that the goal of a Chazaka meikara is to paskin something up, is to be, as I say the word, to be mevarer what the facts are. If you hold a chazok is a birur, it's fundamentally there to be mevar. Chazok is a methodology that Terry gives us to be mevar what the facts are, that I understand this chiluk perfectly well. I understand that you want to be mevar mitzias, okay, you want to be mevar halacha, what do you create? How could chazok and mekara be a greater mevar than the excites and the mitzias? Ravina Rav Ashi, Rabban Dvar, nobody else knew the din, but the wall knows the din. So if the goal of Chazak is to be Mevara, then I understand full well what this riff meant. I understand full well what these Achronim meant. I understand Bavur Chazak Ishtarim. But if you hold that the whole goal of a Chazaka Meikara is not to be Mevara, what's the goal of a Chazaka Meikara? Simply say what?
Give an answer.
Yeah, it's what we call, what's the lingo in Yeshivas? It's not hunger, Be'alma. It's a din on hunger. You have a suffix. Deploy the suffix. You know, we live our lives with Sofik. We have so many Sfeikas in our lives. So the Torah says that you have Sfeikas, you have to go on. You have to live your life knowing that you don't know. So Chazak is just simply a statement of you're B'Sofik. The Bis B'Sofik, the Blight B'Sofik, and you still go on. You have a Din on Haga. So once you tell me that Chazak is just a Din on Haga, it's not a Biror, why can't it be Nita L'Yomer even by a Sofik in Halacha? Could that very nekuda be the nekuda samachleikus between who and who? Between the riff and the rush. The rush presented with the riff on his pedestal and said, oh, the riff can't mean what he sounds like and follow sumkus. It's actually ridiculous. Nobody follows that sumkus. So the best that rush could do with that riff was to say, he must hold that it's a suffix and a mocha, and therefore kaimalon chokin. And the Rosh said, what do you mean? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Because tu has the cheskes makama. And the Rosh said, no. Nishtin cheskes makama. Yo, yes, Shchanan. Yes, no, maybe so. Is that the Nekudas HaMachlokes? What's going on? So once I showed you a story, some of you heard it probably last year. Remember the story about this Shalom? These Gedolei Achronim, Mishnah Melech, these Gedolei Achronim who coined the phrase, Bavur Chazak HaShtan Adem, that the Nekudas HaSfeikes is made famous by subscribing the Rif Shita to it, he put a Rishon on it. He put a Rishon's name on the Shita. I was learning Chesed about him in Kerem Yavne. This goes back in 1984. Okay. Besides the book 1984, other things happened in 1984, I was learning Chesed about him. I had this Chesed time to be in Rav Moshe Dibman's Shir. The Magid Shir in Kerem Yavne for about 40 years or so. He was just a reference point. He was Rabbi Willard's Rebbe. And he was my Rebbe almost 20 years later. And he was still going for another 20 years. So Rav Moshe Dittman, anyone ever hear? Anyone hear of him?
From
Rebbe. Okay, Rav Moshe Dittman, you ever hear him? You ever see him?
From
Rebbe. Rav Moshe Dittman was very, very a short man. On fire. On fire, I mean. In his heyday. Heyday to Shtenders. I mean, he was really good. And he was like, risking their eyes. It was just like a modern. Nice already, ready in his later years, but he was you know, fiery even then. So it was the very end of his man, before Pesach. And we were learning the sugya a little bit, this comes up a little bit later on. And he kept on running around. He would run around the room. He would grab your shirt. Like his eyes are just back at the table a few times, run around. And that's how this man ended. Like the last day of shit. The end of that. No. So I went home, I came back to America for Pesach. And it was like sitting on me for like a month, you know, this Hanhaga Bureau story. So I happened to have two opportunities to be two Rosh Yeshivas during Pesach. One was Osman Rashid and Tells in Riverdale, I spent many, many years with over the years and grew up. And it happened to be with Tzvi Kushalevsky, one of the G'dayle Rosh Yeshivas in Yisrael, Adayim is that. Happened to have been pumped by, he had to be in America for Yom Tov, but he had a very close friend who lived in Riverdale, and he was pumped mamash the first day of Yom Tov, he ended up in Riverdale. So I took the opportunity to present both to Rabbi Osman and to Rabbi Kushalevsky this question: how are we supposed to understand this Mavruch HaZak HaShan HaDin in light of the fact that every Lipish Yeshiva Bacha knows that Chazak is a Hoga, it's not a Pirur. Because Rabbi Kivega told us that, Rabbi Shmai tells us that, Rabbi Shimon told us, it has like been the lingo for the last 100 years. Everybody knows that. I mean, not everybody, but mostly everybody. So I presented this kasha that how can it be if Chazok is Anhoga? How can you say Baruch Chazok Hashem has been? How can we take a savior to that service? How can we pull off the stunt if we all know in our hearts and souls that Chazok is Anhoga? It's not a beaver. So why can't it work by a second to be? So I didn't run around screaming the head off that, but I basically presented this kasha to Gdolei Olam. This goes back to 1984. This is a long time ago. They both gave me a mahalach. It was kibat the identical mahalach. I didn't understand the peshaito, and I can't repeat it if I don't remember it. It was never clear. I never understood it. So life just went on. And life moved on. I came back to Gavi Avna. I came to YU. Got married. Had a few kids. Became a rabbi in Bergenfield. And about 3 years ago or so, I was sitting in the back of the shul, in the back of my house, inside my house. I was learning. And all of a sudden, I picked up a Kilis Yachav, I picked up a stipler about something. And he starts to talk about this very topic. And I was like mesmerized. And I guess it was like an instinct. I banged. I threw a stand at that. I went back in 30 years to give me up the days. I got so excited. And I screamed something out like, yes! Like the guy that hit the buzzer, you know, the best, like, yes! Like I finally found it 35 years later. I found like, wow. Well, the wife came running in, yes, everything's okay. I said, everything's fine. I make believe you're married to someone who's 19 right now, who's bagging spenders and Jeremy Adam and screaming on top of his head about Baruch HaZak. So it's a very, very emotionally laden, charged topic to sugya. So I just thought I would share some of this with you. Okay, so Rabbi Shai, getting back to, let's get back to some Torah over here. So Rabbi Shai, we have mahalach. We have a potential mahalach. Potential. So Rabbi Shai, even when we have a suffix moment that muchzak doesn't apply, chaskas barakama doesn't apply, either doesn't exist or true but irrelevant, any one of these three possible scenarios, we and all of us are going to follow in the footsteps of Simchas, Rabbanan Magid and Simchas, and that's what Taisus says. But Taisus doesn't just say, everything I just said now was going to Taisus, one line of Taisus, right? Taisus just said, the Feirish. The one sort, the days of now, Taisus said, that one line is everything we just said. But there's no muhsin, no chesim, or common, no anything garnished, right? But then Taisus throws a curveball at this. Tell us one time. There's a Sufik moment here. And the Gemara says, pshit, the chalkin. Says Taisus, v'had lo omar hocha kol da'on gevar. I said, wait a second. Just because Muchsuk failed us, and just because Chesmer Kama failed us, why is the default position Cholkin? The Gemara says this. The Gemara says the default position is Cholkin. On the Balan, that was the Gemara's Kasha. Cholkin Pshita. So the Gemara said, black and white, the default position is Cholkin. For Vos Cholkin, I have another option. I have another option. Three magic words called Kol Da'ol Gevar. Where the Taisus coming from? What plant are they coming from? Who knows? Plani Kol Ches Tebat. The Moran 13 of Agashra says, Hal Arvid the Minzalei Vetrei. There was a boat. Two guys were fighting over it. One guy says it's mine. The other guy says it's his. They come to Beis Din. What does Beis Din say? We have no clue what this is. Not a clue. What do we say? What's the Psalm? Kol Da'ol Gevar. Go fight it out. Whoever's the stronger one is going to win. Kol Da'ol Gevar. Says Taisus. Why did Chazal give such a bizarre psak in that case? The teretz is because the regular klal and the government suffix moment aren't there. What are the regular klal? Chazal again? There's no muhsar. There's nothing to go on. So what do you do when you have nothing? The default psak is nishkolkin, like the Gemara Baba Asa Dabala says. The default psak is called Ongvali, like the Gemara says in Baba Asa Dabala. So now, Taisus, after spending a whole day explaining to us that the default position is Cholkin, Sukhas is ultimately right. As long as you can get rid of Chmuchsan and bump out of our conversation, the Taisus, Rabbanis, places them in Sukhas and Sfakas, as long as you can get rid of Chmuchsan, Chesed, Merkama, the default position is Cholkin, it's not true to Taisus, called Ongvali. But Taisus says, no, it's not true. Because this is not our kasha, says Taisus. We're not the first ones to raise this problem. What is the default position? Who asked this kasha? The Gemara, in Chesabat. He asked this very question. How does the Gemara formulate the question? Let's take a look. The Gemara. Did we have the Mamre Kermes? Daf Lamed Hey, right? No, wasn't there somewhere? Comes the Gemara Daf Lamed Hey and says, after telling us the din of Kol Da'ol Gevar, the Gemara has it by a boat, the Gemara has it by lands, whenever there's no muhsin, whenever there's nothing to go on. So the Rav Nachman said Kol Da'ol Gevar. Frek the Gemara Lamed Hamid Aleph, Umay Shna Mi Hadisnan, Hamach the Parva Chamor Vyolda, Yachleiku. What's the difference between the Psak of Rav Nachman of Kol Da'ol Gevar? Why is the Rav Nachman maintaining Kol Da'ol Gevar? He's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah of Kuf says, when somebody sells an animal, you're not sure whether it gave birth before or after the sale, what do you do? You like it. Now, truth to be told, that was a very, very weak kasha. You know why? What was the Shvacha kasha? Because it happens to be that Mishnah Shalakel. Who does that Mishnah happen to follow? Why? How do we know it's so good? Because that Mishnah does have a lot. It may not necessarily have a muchzik, because why? Maybe the animal's sitting where? In the field somewhere, in the agam, in the farmland. But it definitely has a lot. Chesed Merkama. It's that Gemara that I've been referencing all the whole week and a half. That's the Gemara that says that when the Gemara asks in the Mishnah, why is Yechla like you? Why do you follow muchzik? So what did the Gemara say? How come I see it's out in the agam? Correct the Gemara. Why do you follow Chesed Merkama? Says the Gemara, Hamani Sumchasi. So it's that Shabbat Ha'ad Gemara that teaches us everything we would say. I didn't make up anything. You think I made up these rules? Everything is all this board is right out of the Gemara. Right out of the Gemara to be Shabbat. You just have to look around. So this cloud that we have, that the Chacham Shit is, first you go Basa Mukhsa, then you go Basa Mukhsa, that's right, Munach, and that's going to Tzitav Kuf. That those two kashas of the Gemara, follow Mukhsa, follow Chaz Merkam. So So when the Gemara asked the Kasha, hey, wait a second, why does Rav Nachman Paskin called the Olam Gvar? Why is that different than that Mishnah? That's a cheating Kasha. That's not a fair Kasha. Because the Gemara is asking, what do you follow called the Gvar? What do you follow Simchus? So what's Pshat in the Gemara's Kasha? Why do I ask such a funny Kasha? The Gemara picked the Mishnah that was Shalei Kealocha. What's Pshat in the Gemara's Kasha? Anyone thought about that? Who here read the Gemara in Daf Lamed Hey? You saw the Gemara ask the Kasha, "Ay, my shnami achleiku, but that's shalek alocha. Why are you bringing a mishnah shalek alocha?" So who do you think is sitting here on the side, so excited, so happy, big smile? The Rashbam says, "This is my raya. We follow sumas. This Gemara in the Chlamet Hey." So Taisa says, "What? Are you kidding?" Taisa says, "Ay, my chik mikan alocha sumchus. The abkan lo pligi alei hasem b'ashaya la mishum dazlin abas chazak de my mind." How does Tosfos learn Pshat in the Gemara's Kasha on Daf Lamed Hey? The Gemara didn't really mean to ask, hey, how come we don't follow Yachloku? But the Gemara really meant to say it like this. That Mishnah of Yachloku happens to be Sukkos, which is really Shalei Kealocha, but if not for the fact that there's a Chesed Mar Kama, the Mishnah's right. Sukkos is really right. Sukkos got it on the right on the mark. Yachleiku is the correct thing to do when you have, that's the default position of halacha. The machleiku sumchus in the Rabbanon is, what has to be absent to create a default position? According to the Rabbanon, everything's got to be missing to create a default. According to sumchus, the default is the first pshat. Everything's yachleiku. So when the Gemara asks, ma'ishtam imach lepor v'chamor, the Gemara didn't mean to say, oh, by the way, we pass like that mission. No, that is the shleiku. What the Gemara meant to ask was, Maishno, that just as Alibi de Sumchus, you say Yachleiku, so too we, the Chachamim, would say Yachleiku in a case where there's no Muchzuk. That's what the Gemara's question was. So whether you slice the Gemara like Rashbam or like Tyson, at the end of the day, the Gemara is presenting, when do you say Kol Yom Gvar, and when do you say Yachleiku? These are both two potential default positions of the Dinamamas. And it's unclear when you say one, when you say the other. So the Gemara answers, the answer is very, very simple. And Taisa the base took it right out of the Gemara. Taisa didn't make up anything of the base. They took it right out of the Gemara. Taisa says, the answer is very simple. Two words. Two magic words. Are there two magic words? There are two magic words. Drora. In the presence of Drora Dramona, the psak is Yachleiku. In the absence of Drad Ramona, Leiku of Chle Drad Ramona, then the psak is called Yom Gvar. That's what it says in the Flamet Hey. The Gemara says, Ma'ishno b'machapar v'chamor, Hosam ha'isei Drad Ramona, ha'isei Drad Ramona. Hocha, there's no Drad Ramona. So what the Gemara said in the Flamet Hey, that's what Taisa said. Everyone realized that what Taisa said Dabez is just verbatim what the Gemara said in Daf Lamed Hey? Who here realized that? Okay, if you didn't realize that, you're missing that in the clues, okay? Taisa said Dabez, when he says, V'hadlo o'ma hacha kol d'olim gvar, k'mo b'zeh shal avaysay, Taisa quotes the Gemara, ha'asim in the lengi d'rad r'amayna, v'achay d'rad r'amayna. Says Taisa, here, what's here in Taisa said Dabez? What's the case d'rad r'amayna Dabez? What Masechta are we learning? Bezim and Alf, Bav Basa. What are we talking about? We're not talking about animals being born. We're not talking about people stealing ships. What are we talking about in that day? What's the latest Asafik about? Whoa. Who paid for this wall 6 years ago? Who paid for, who gave the airspace last month? So the Mishnah says Cholkin. So the Gemara says, how do you give the ship to be Cholkin? Any Tanya can Harry knows it, because it's a Asafik moment. So Tosa stops, wait, 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 wait. Asafik moment is Cholkin, you don't call the Omgivar. So he says, no, this is not a called the Gvar Bika Sofi. This is the Cholkim Sofi, because this is a Yikadur Adramayna. And Ayin, but the Bible says, Dachlam, hey, when you see this cloud, Yikadur Adramayna, that lends itself to a Psach of Echleikum, a Lakadur Adramayna lends itself to a Psach of Echleikum. So when Chaf said, Taisus, Taisus, Tamish took the Gvar out of the Bible, Dachlam, hey, plugged it into the wall, Dabez, and Shalom Aishu. So now we have a whole new clone here. We have just one cloud is giving birth, we have grandchildren of Columbia. Make sure we understand, what do you do when you have a Suffolk moment? That's the goal of the last couple of shiur, in case you didn't notice. What do you do when you have a Suffolk moment? So, we always aim for Muchzuk first. Muchzuk fails us, we end, non-Sukkos people, we go for Chesed Mar Kama. When all of that fails us, either because it doesn't exist, like sometimes you go, like the case of the Arab, Tata doesn't exist. Sometimes it exists, but the Muchzuk is shafted, it's true but irrelevant because of any one of the three issues in the corner. So sometimes we end up in a situation of a suffix bummer with nothing else to go on. So where do you go with that? So the base of the house says, what do you go with that? Echokin. And by the Machlok Baruch Hamor, Echokin. But that lies in the face of the Ha'arva, or the case of the Kash, the Mishnah Levi'sai, where the Psach is called Yom Gvar. So now we have a whole new question. So forget Tzumkos, forget the Rabban, forget Chetzis Gemar Kam, forget Mukhsa, forget Chetzis, forget everything we've been talking about, and now focus on one Nekudah. I just want to know, what do I do when all else fails us? Do I go down the route of Kol Dam Gvar, down the Chloif, and the answer is, Ikidur Rabban, Ikidur Rabban. You read this Gemara, it's like sister thing. Mamash is saying, it's like reading Zayaris. Like, what do these words mean? What don't we know? What don't we understand? This is the thing. Gemara says, you want another question, but this is the MS. Tell you that base, assuming you already learned the Flamet, you already finished up, you only six times down, you know already everything. Tell you, says, this is the cloud of. What don't we know?
What is the Gemara that causes you to be
mad? You're 100% right, but there's things that we don't know even before that. I have no idea what Kol Dam Gvar is all about. This is something that doesn't seem to fit into our religion, Kol Dam Gvar. This is like from the jungle, Kol Dam Gvar. I don't understand the Bechlal. I'll tell you the secret. Yachloku, probably not true. Yachloku is probably not the MS either. Hardly unlikely that that's really what's reality. So, the two funny Klolim. The two funny Klolim, you don't really understand either of them 100%. What else don't we understand? We have no idea what Taich and the word Dramon even mean. And we have absolutely no idea, whatever that Taich is, we'll figure out what the word that Taich is, we have absolutely no idea why that should impact on which of these two Klolim we go down. So somehow the Taich of our past telling us, Chazal figured this all out, Baruch HaKedesh, that there are Klolim in Halacha in the absence of Muchsak and Chaz Merkav. Remember, Muchsak, that was a Pasuk, right? It's all Taich of our past. It all goes back to Mishpat. Ilamni Kosvari, the Tsukum of Svaris, Muchsak is a Dinderaisa. Chesed Merkam was either a derivative of Chazaka Mekara, or it's somehow a subcategory of Muchsak. So those didn't we got, those we figured out. Now we have a whole new angle of the Dinamamanus when none of them apply, none of them exist. Now where do you go? So Chazal have two different roads to go down, and telling us that if you have the other money, you go down one road, if you don't have the other money, you go down the other road. It's based on who, based on where, based on what. So we understand everything except for what Kol Dam Gvar is, what Yachleku is, what Dera Dramon is, and why in the world it should make a difference. Otherwise, we got the whole thing down pat. So where do we start, basically? Let's start just with a very, very simple definition, almost backwards. Let's try to define the term Dera Dramon. Maybe that'll give us an inkling as to what's going on in the city. So not a great shocking surprise. Because the Machlekes is a Rishonim what the term means. Because the term is so ambiguous. If I was writing art school, I have no idea how to translate the word. I don't know what drawer means. I think it's Aramaic because that's all for the end. It sounds Aramaic. If you told me it was Yiddish, I'd say great. Okay, I have no idea what the word means. Even. So comes the Rashbam and says something along the lines of Dror Ramona means as follows. Sometimes you have a case of a suffix mumo, where both parties have the hands, I don't mean this literally hands, but they have a shaychus to this animal, to this moment. Each one really has something to stand on for certain. Whether or not they're entitled to what they're arguing about, I can't say. But they're not like from aliens from outer space, vis-a-vis this moment. Each one has a shaychus to this moment. And we know that for a fact, that both Bali Dovar have shaychus here. We don't know how it plays out. L'maisa, who's the real owner, but they have sheikhs. So give me the example of Dera D'Ramona. What was the original case when the Gemara said Dera D'Ramona? What was the only case the Gemara used the term Dera D'Ramona? The Flamet Hay. Which case? Machlok Baruch Hamor, the case that wasn't even really true. Shh, but don't tell anybody, okay? Machlok Baruch Hamor, some close, which we would extrapolate if not for Muslim. It's a funny catch. Machli par b'chamor. The meicher is a shaykhus here, and the lekech is a shaykhus here. You know why? The meicher is not a stranger to this topic. The meicher is not from coming from outer space. We know that he owned the animal at one point. And generally, the rule is, when you own an animal, whatever you give birth to, you own. So this law that we're having a lady's suffix, no pun intended on, so the meicher is shaykh to this law. He has some shaykh to this law. The lekech, we know he bought the animal. We're not arguing that he bought the animal. The problem is, we don't exactly, can't pinpoint when the birth was. We don't have the birth certificate records in properly. So we're not exactly sure. Nobody marked down exactly when the animal was born. But both the meicher and lekech are belong in this discussion. We know that for a fact. Whether or not one or the other is the rightful owner of the vlad, we don't know. But they have a shaykhus to them. This is unlike some of the other cases where the Gemara talks about Kol. Like, for example, there's a piece of land. I say it's my father's, you say it's your father's. Nobody has anything to go on. The guy who's lying, what's his relationship to this piece of land? Well, the two guys are fighting over a rowboat. The rowboat's sitting going down Reptiport. No one's holding on to the rowboat. So I'm screaming, it's my rowboat, and you're screaming, it's your rowboat, and it's going down the middle of the street. The guy who's lying has no shaykhus to this rowboat. He never owned it. He never bought it. He never will own it. He never will buy it. So that's a lacking of what? That's what it means that you're lacking drugs and money. There's no shaykhus moment. At least one department is no drugs and money. That's what the Rashbam says, though. Now, we have no idea why that translates to mean, therefore you're passing to Olivar, therefore you're passing to Yechof. I don't know that yet. That's, you have to wait till next week. But at least I have a beginning of a sugya. There's something to go on. At least I have the words in me. Taisa says it's much, much more complicated. Yeah. Taisa is a much, much more complicated definition of drug living. Taisa has coined the phrase. You know what the phrase is? Dror d'Ramona means, who knows the phrase of Taisus? Sofek, Lebeis din, B'loi Tanaseyim. Taisus Bav Metzia, Taisus Bav Basra, throws around that lingo. Sofek, Lebeis din, B'loi Tanaseyim. What in the world does that mean? So, different Sveikis emanate from different sources. This is not a statistician speaking right now. This is just like a real lawyer mind. Wherein lies the suffix as to who owns this blood? What's the source of our suffix? We're missing a piece of information, a what?
Reality.
A reality. We're missing, we don't have the accurate birth records. That's the problem. That's our problem. It's a suffix that's not on the basement. And the embassy is, we wouldn't have that we wouldn't have this information, no matter what the Baladin is saying. Even if there was no dentire here, and the Department of Health would ask us, when was the animal born? It would say, we don't know. We partially don't know. So that's a suffix that exists on its own 2 feet. It's not being nevei, it's not emanating from the Baal Dover. Each Baal Din is trying to take that to his advantage. One Baal Din saying, oh, by the way, it was born by me. The other guy says, born by me. But the suffix is neila, even out of the context of the words of the Baal Din. That's called the Dura Dura. And that kind of suffix, what's the default position? Yachloik. That's Yachloik. Unlike the case of the robo, unlike the case of the character that we have nothing else to go on, what creates the suffix? There's a robo going down my street. When does the suffix start? When Sobolovsky says it's mine, and my neighbor claims it is. So Bates listens to Sobolovsky, listens to my neighbor. I don't know. Both of them across the street. So I'm saying my version. He's saying his version. Bates is processing all this. And the suffix is neveya from my word against his. My word against his word. It's my time against his time. That's a suffix. We touch time, he's saying. That's a lack of Dura D'Ramayna. And when you're lacking Dura D'Ramayna, when the suffix is there from the Baal Din themselves, which option, which road does the halakha go down? What do you do with the suffix moment under those circumstances? That's called the Omer. So all we've accomplished right now is we've identified what the terms mean, Machlekes Rashbam and Tosfos, what they mean. We've identified when you say one, when you say the other. We have not a clue as to why any of what I just said is true. Like, why in the world should, whether I have Shaykh from Abdur Shaykh from Abdur, whether it's something I gave Tana Sayyam, why should that impact the Psa? But it's arbitrary, we're flipping the corner. Which Psa should, which page of the wall book text should we go down? Well, the Jordan the Monazoy and the Jordan Monazoy. Well, nonsense, what does that mean? That makes sense. So everybody say, we're just reading one line of Tosfos, that's it. We just read one line of Tosfos today. Tosfos just told us that we read the whole Shia, the first half of the second half, but just one line of Tosfos. Tosfos just told us that we really believe in Simchus. Simchus is really right, except for the fact that there's Chasis Voma, or there's Muchsuk, or there's Chasis Barakama. But if those things are missing, then Simchus is really right. And we just highlighted a riff, we threw it for good luck, is to familiarize ourselves with the third application where Muchsuk, or the Chasis Barakama may not really be there in its full glory. So the riff, and the Kutzah Sfakis has highlighted that idea for us. But now, we're Marviach, that we have cases, there are cases in Shas, that Muchsuk is in there, and Chas Barakama is not going to help us. And we're really, really ready to plug in those Kholi Apsach now. And we have no clue Kholi Apsach to plug in, because the Gemara tells us different places, different things. Rav Asa Dabdalos talks the language of Cholkin, Rav Metzir Dabkub talks the language of Cholkin, Rav Asa Dabdalos talks the language of Kholi Apsach. So Tosfos followed the footsteps, they opened up the Gemara, and instead of back out, the Gemara is not kasher, really. That was the Gemara's kasher, Mashto Nachman Kor Chamor. And the Gemara did not have this clue. But again, we translated the words of the Rav Moshe, but we have by far not done it justice to it. Hopefully, it's in the next year. So we'll try to a little bit of a better understanding. What is going on behind the scenes? What is this Rav Moshe? What is this magic mystery of Rav Moshe? Why does its presence or absence dictate which path to go down? Okay, so hopefully, that's a little bit here. Our only latest topic is when we're going to continue. That's the subject. So.